Let us then turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at this chapter, but we might choose verse 1 for our text if you like. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 could be regarded as our text. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. The words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian Christians. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. A very brief reminder of what's gone on before. Chapter 2, we noticed that the gospel was triumphant. Chapter 3, that we noticed that the gospel was glorious. Here in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is outlining the glorious gospel ministry. This is what this chapter is about. If in chapter 2 the gospel is triumphant, if in chapter 3 the gospel is glorious, then Paul here in chapter 4 is exalting and delighting in the fact that he is the apostle to the Gentiles, and that by the grace of God, he has been called. Not just called as a disciple. Obviously, that's true of him. But he was further called. He was called to be a preacher and an apostle, with his primary duty to go forth and to proclaim Christ in all his fullness, particularly to the Gentiles, and that included Corinth. And we know that he, under God, founded the church in Corinth. As you will be well aware, and as this chapter reveals something of it to us, the Apostle Paul had many, many difficulties. And it would not be wrong to say that virtually everywhere he went, he had persecutions. He had trials. He had difficulties. He had encountered many things that would ordinarily cause a person to pack it all in. And this chapter outlines to us many reasons why the Apostle Paul was not like that. He would not pack in his calling. He would not pack in his vocation. He was going to pursue it. And I want to present to you three reasons, as we find in this chapter, why he had courage for the conflict. Courage for the conflict. And the title I'd like to give to our meditation this morning is The Glory of the Gospel Ministry. The Glory of the Gospel Ministry. And the Apostle Paul is one who displayed an enormous amount of courage. And he needed that courage because the gospel ministry was indeed a conflict. And in this chapter, we have at least three reasons why he had plenty courage for the conflict. First of all, then, what do we notice? Well, he had courage for the conflict because we have a glorious ministry. We have a glorious ministry. This is from our text itself. Seeing we have this ministry. The literal translation of it is, seeing we have this kind of ministry. He wasn't called to be a doctor or a dentist. He was called to be a preacher. And he was called to be a preacher of the glorious gospel. And therefore he is stating that because the gospel is glorious, that the gospel ministry also is glorious, because this is the kind of ministry that he has received. And basically what he's saying here is that he has been kept from being a quitter. He has been kept. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Which could easily be translated, we do not lose heart. We faint not. Why? Because we do not lose heart. There were certainly plenty of reasons for the Apostle Paul in the situation that he find himself in to lose heart and to throw in the towel. What was it that kept him from fainting in the conflicts of his life? He knew what he possessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks here about, as we have received mercy. Now, the Apostle Paul was one who knew the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ firsthand. As you know his life, he was a strict Pharisee. He was a religious man. But he knew not forgiveness of sins. He knew not what it was right to be right with God. But something glorious, something wonderful, something divine happened to him. And we know it happened on the road to Damascus. There he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all his religious views from that moment on changed. He became a Christian. He became a follower of the Lord Jesus. And he knew something of what it was like to be reconciled to God, to have that peace that passes all understanding. We have received mercy. And because he had received mercy in the fact that he was converted, and also that he had received mercy in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ had appointed him to be a preacher to the Gentiles, to be an apostle, to be a sent one who had a distinct call from Christ himself that only applied to the apostles, he was going to delight in the mercy of the Lord Jesus. And no matter all the obstacles and all the difficulties that would come upon him, that had come upon him here and would yet come upon him, he was not going to faint. He was not going to throw in the towel. He was not going to lose heart. And this is really characteristic of the Apostle Paul. If we go back a moment and step back to his old life, what was he like? He was wholehearted for his religion. He wasn't a half-hearted individual. He didn't take it up one day and get a bit fed up with it the next day. He was an out-and-out follower of Judaism as he understood it. We know he was wrong, that's true, but he showed a quality that's necessary for anyone who is to be called to the gospel ministry. He was one who was determined and who set out whatever he did, whatever he undertook. He put his whole heart, his whole life into it. He wasn't half-hearted in anything. And in his old life, his old religious life, as he was a Pharisee of the strictest sect of the Pharisees, he was all out for Phariseeism. And this quality in him continued. When he became a Christian, when he was delivered from the shackles of his old religion, when the eyes of his understanding were opened, when he saw the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus, when he delighted in the gospel, when he saw the scriptures, when they were opened up to him, and he could see Christ in the Old Testament, when all of that happened to him, and when he was called to the apostolic ministry, he was again wholehearted, and he would not throw in the towel, regardless of whatever persecutions, illness, sickness, whatever came upon him. He was determined. he would not faint. This is something that marks out anyone who has been called as a Christian. You might think that the minister is talking simply here about people who've been called to be preachers. Well, that's true of them too, but it's also true of the Christian. The Christian has received an effectual call, a call from God. And the life of God has been implanted in the true-hearted, genuine Christian. And he will have difficulties. He will have trials. He will have persecutions. The Lord Jesus did not promise an easy life to his people. But there's one thing that will hold the Christian throughout his earthly pilgrimage. He will fall back upon the fact that he is a Christian ultimately by the will of God. And he has received this effectual internal call. He may fall. He may backslide. He may be lukewarm for a season. But ultimately that call will bring him to glory. He will work out his salvation with fear and trembling. That will be his or her position. It will be the fact ultimately. When they're brought to glory, they will be able to say they have received this internal call. And they are where they are by the grace of God. But it's also true of anyone who thinks that they might be called to the holy ministry. There's one characteristic that's required of anyone. And it's not academic. It's not been highly academic or intellectual. It's not having a thorough understanding of the scriptures. Good as these things are, and they are necessary, and we want an educated ministry. We don't want people in the pulpit who cannot deliver sermons and who cannot bring forth the truth of the scriptures. But there's one thing that's more important than any of these things. It is to be called. And it is to have that internal call that God gives to every one of his servants who should occupy the pulpit. Now people might say, well, I've been called. Well, if someone has been called to the holy ministry, friends, their life will manifest this determination and this not turning from one thing to another thing. The Apostle Paul, when he received this call, devoted himself to the apostolic ministry. He kept at it, regardless of the difficulties and the obstacles, and there were plenty. Everywhere he went, he had difficulties. And humanly speaking, he had many, many reasons to faint, but he would not, because he recognized the glorious gospel ministry, and he recognized that he had been called to it, and he devoted himself to it. And this is one of the characteristics of anyone who has been called to the pulpit, that their life will be a life where they are devoted to it. They don't jump from this thing to that thing. They don't take up one activity and never finish it, and take up another activity and never finish it. They are consumed in order that they might proclaim Christ. And they will never deviate from it. They will not be perfect. They'll make mistakes. They'll falter. But they will never turn back upon that call, because it's come from God, and they cannot resist it. And the Apostle Paul is delighting and exulting in this gospel ministry. And although he had many things to make him despondent and to despair, he was going to glory in what he possessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't going to complain about these things that happened to him. He was going to rejoice further in what he had in Christ, in the free grace of God. You could think about his conversion, and you could think about his state as purely a private Christian. He marveled that this one who had been injurious, this one who had been a blasphemer, received the mercy of God. He couldn't get over it. This was beyond his wildest dreams. To think that one who stood by as Stephen was being stoned to death and approved of that action, and to think that he was on the road to Damascus to haul men and women and children and to bring them back to Jerusalem that they might face punishment and even death. To think that he had received the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Oh, Christian, is this not something we need to meditate upon? Is this not something that we need to delight in, to look at our blessings? We're so inclined to look at the discouragements. We're so inclined to look at the disappointments. And we have many disappointments. But, oh, friends, as the Apostle Paul would say to us today in the Word of God, look at your blessings, count your blessings, name them one by one. Look at what God has done in Christ for you. And if you put these things into perspective, you will just be like the Apostle Paul. You will delight in Christ. Come what may, and providence might throw many things upon you, many things that you would recoil from by nature. But how are we going to overcome these things? How are we going to have courage then to face a new day? We're to count our blessings. You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness. Your eyes have been opened in a spiritual sense. You have seen things that others do not see. You have received blessings that others don't receive and haven't received and may never receive. Seeing we have this ministry, this kind of ministry, is the Apostle Paul then going to be overwhelmed with his difficulties? What a ministry he's got! We love our doctors. We love our doctors. We go to our doctors, and by the grace of God, they'll be able to tell us what is wrong with us. And maybe they'll be able to provide medicine that will sort us. Or maybe we need an operation or whatever. We love them. We value them. And the same can be said for our dentists and our lawyers and all kinds of people. We love what people do for us because we need them. And we value their work. And we bless God for them. But there's nothing like the gospel ministry, friends. There's nothing like it whatsoever. Because all of these people that we've mentioned, whatever they do, and however good they may be in their jobs, and how much we depend upon them, it's only for this world. It's only for now. But the gospel minister is proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ, which not only benefit our lives now. Yes, there's a tangible benefit in our lives now when we come to the Lord Jesus. There's real benefit, but all the benefit is yet to come. It's eternity, friends. The doctor might cure you, but one day you'll pass into eternity. And there no doctor will be able to help you. No one will be able to help you but the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you have nothing in this world, but if you have Christ, you'll not need anything else in this world. You'll marvel, you'll delight, you'll gloat in what you have in the Lord Jesus. Therefore, when these difficulties come, we won't have the difficulties that the Apostle Paul had, but we'll have our own difficulties. Let's get them in perspective. It's a glorious ministry. The Apostle Paul was not going to be put off by persecutions, by hardships. No. He saw that the gospel ministry was above everything, because he was an instrument in the hand of God, bringing about the eternal salvation of poor sinners. What a ministry. No wonder he is exalting in the glory of the gospel ministry. And this ministry kept him from packing it in, kept him from despairing. But more than that, this gospel kept him from being a deceiver. Verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. As I said to you some time ago, when we look at 2 Corinthians, you have to read it and realize that sometimes the Apostle Paul, when he says things, he is taking a swipe at his opponents. And he had many opponents who were infiltrating the Corinthian congregations, and they were saying things about the Apostle Paul. And he's taking a swipe here at those opponents. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. This was a mark of his opponents. They were dishonest. They were misaligning the word of God. They were making Scripture say things that Scripture does not say. And you'll find that today. You'll find it in the cults. And many people who are in the cults today, friends, are people who were once members of Christian churches. And what do? They are distorting the word of God. It's very easy to distort the word of God. The Bible says on two occasions, there is no God. In two occasions, you'll find it in the Psalms, there is no God. The Bible says there is no God, some will say. Of course, it's taken completely and utterly out of context. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, that's an obvious extreme example, but you can make the Bible say anything if you want. If you're prepared to go against the normal rules of interpretation and you're not afraid of your own conscience condemning you. This is what was happening here. But the Apostle Paul glories in the Christian ministry and had kept him from being a deceiver. He was going to proclaim that word whether people liked it or not. He was not a man pleaser. He looked up. He recognized he was going to stand before the Lord Jesus, and because he was a preacher, he would be judged more severely than the private Christian. He could have distorted the word of God. He could have gathered many, many disciples around him and pleased them. But he wasn't going to be that kind of individual. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. There's an interesting statement. And it's to encourage us, friends, because when we preach the word of God as it is in truth, and when we're not ashamed to declare the truth clearly and plainly as we find it in the scripture, every man's conscience, he might not admit this, but every man's conscience will acknowledge that what the preacher is saying is true. Now, he may not accept it. That's another matter. And you hear it yourself when people will speak about someone and they might say, well, I don't like what he's saying, but he's genuine. It's that kind of thing. And that's what fired the Apostle Paul. He was prepared to preach the gospel and not to be ashamed of it, and to lay it bare and plain before all his hearers. He recognized that many would not believe it, but he wasn't going to change it in order to suit them, because he knew, although they might not admit it and they might not recognize it, that nevertheless their conscience within themselves would tell them that this man is telling the truth. That could not be said for his opponents. And this kept the Apostle Paul. A glorious gospel? Was he going to deceive it? No way. Let others do it, not him. And then others were saying, but his gospel, not everyone believes it. What do we find in verse 3? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Here's another swipe he's taking at his opponents. They are saying, his gospel, well, people hear it, but they don't all believe it. There must be something wrong with the gospel. And there must be something wrong with the gospel that the Apostle Paul is presenting. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Apostle Paul recognizes that the gospel, which is clear and plain, and he is presenting it clear and plain, is hid to them that are lost, that are perishing. Again, he's not going to change the gospel. No. He recognizes that only God can do that. And he likens conversion to creation. After matter was first created, there was chaos and there was darkness. And what do we find? God created light. There's nothing wrong with the gospel, as there's nothing wrong with the sun. The sun is always shining, but the blind man cannot see it. No matter what he does, he cannot see it. So it is with the gospel. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And also, because the gospel was so glorious, he was not going to promote himself. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Another swipe at his opponents. What were they doing? They were parading themselves. They were using the pulpit in order to present themselves. They wanted people to gather around them and to follow them, that they might become their disciples. Nothing was further from the practice of the Lord Jesus. We don't preach ourselves. What are we? We are simply messengers. We have been given a glorious message. We are ambassadors of Christ. And an ambassador doesn't have his own opinion. He doesn't bring his own message. God simply works through the preacher. And the Apostle Paul was like that individual. He did not in any sense promote himself. And you will find, friends, that there are people in the Christian church and in the cults. What are they doing? They are gathering people to themselves. They have a cult following. This was not the practice of the Apostle Paul. The ministry was too glorious. He didn't want to shine. He wanted to preach Christ. He wanted people to come to the Lord Jesus. This is a mark of a true gospel preacher. He will preach Christ, not himself. And he will tell his people to come and to have dealings with Christ. He will be like, in some sense, the John the Baptist. What was he? Well, he was the forerunner of Christ. He was a sign. He was a signpost. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He pointed people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul did here in Corinth. Well, secondly, he has another reason why he got courage for the conflict. He recognized that he had a valuable treasure. A valuable treasure. Our time's marching on, but we notice this from verses 7 to 12. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Paul was an earthen vessel. But in that earthen vessel was a glorious treasure. It was the gospel. It was all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that vessel went through many, many difficulties. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, verse 8. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. This was the kind of vessel he was. He was shunted. He was abused. He was beaten. On one occasion, he was stoned to death almost. Indeed, some commentators maintain he was stoned to death. We can debate it, you can think about it. But he had a terrible time, this earthen vessel. And what kept him going was the fact that he had this treasure in the earthen vessel. And the Lord was using his weaknesses in order to proclaim and to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. What was Paul but an earthen vessel? But look what God did through him. Look what this earthen vessel endured. Look how whatever happened to him, he was able to continue. What produced that result? It was the fact that God was with him. And one of the things that we've read there talks about, or it's likened to someone who's in the boxing ring, and they're up before this great opponent, and this opponent is boxing away at the Apostle Paul, as it were, and the Apostle Paul is defending himself, but he's defending himself to a certain extent that he's not been backed into a corner. That's the kind of picture we have here. All the trials, he's been battered with them. But he's withstanding. And he's defending himself. And he's not in a corner so that he is helpless. Why? Because his hope, his strength, his victory is found in God. And you know, friends, this is the same for the Christian. All the things that will happen to us may well overwhelm us. Where are we going to get the strength? Is it in ourselves? We are but earthen, weak vessels. But we belong to Almighty God. Thou hast an arm that's full of power, the Bible says. And that arm that is full of power is working towards the eternal salvation of every Christian. And you know, friends, you have an enemy who would love to drag you down. And he's a powerful enemy. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But that one who has an arm that's full of power is working always positively towards his people. Where was he going to get courage then? He was going to get courage in the fact that being an earthen vessel, God was watching over him. To be an earthen vessel, friends, that can be used, we need to be clean. We need to be empty. And we need to be available for service. That's what the Apostle Paul was like. Not relying upon himself, not relying upon his religious upbringing, although that would be useful. Not relying on these things. He was leaning upon the omnipotent arm of heaven. He was leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he had this valuable treasure in him, and it was the gospel, and he was going to proclaim it no matter what. And this must be the same for the Christian. Appreciate, you are but a weak earthen vessel, but you have a tremendous treasure within you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, briefly and thirdly, we won't be able to fully expand the next thought, but thirdly, we have a confident faith. A confident faith from verses 13 to 18. What does verse 18 say? Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul had outlined in these verses his trials, his difficulties, his hardships, which were hard for flesh and blood. He says here, our light affliction. They were far from light. Far from light. But in comparison to the exceeding and eternal weight of glory that awaited him in eternity, he describes them as light. And therefore, he got courage for the great conflict that lay ahead of him, that he was engaged in, and what was yet to come to him. He got courage looking to the fact about eternity. And this is something that Christians need to embrace more and more, especially as we are not far from eternity, any one of us. Are we going to dwell upon these temporal things, these physical things that are real? Or are we going to look up? And are we going to have our feet firmly fixed upon that world that is to come, where all our trials, all our difficulties, whatever befalls us here will be long gone. Long gone. And therefore he was able to face the conflict. He had courage for the conflict because he had a confident faith. He knew he was going to glory. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. He's telling the Corinthians, our eternal future is secure, and so is yours. We will be presented by Jesus, to Jesus, in eternity. The glory of the gospel ministry, there is nothing like it. Nothing like it. And he had courage to go through all the trials and difficulties that would come him, that would become him, because it is a glorious ministry. And he is a valuable treasure within. And he has a confident faith in Christ the Lord. Amen, and may God bless his word to us. Let us pray together.